Well, good morning once again. And turn me, if you will, to John chapter 10. We continue our journey through John's Gospel, or more precisely, I suppose, it's Jesus' journey through his 3 years of teaching. We come to chapter 10, which is about the shepherd and his flock, which I've subtitled, Not My Will, But His Will, but you'll see why later on. We'll read it first, shall we? The first half, we're talking about the shepherd and his flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and is a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, not only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, These are not sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? May God bless that word to us this morning. The shepherd and his flock. The first part of this chapter we've just read is depicting the duties of a shepherd, the gate, and of course the sheep. Some understood it, some didn't understand it, others were confused. But this is all about the sheep and the shepherd. But do I look like a sheep? Do I look like a lamb? A nice spring lamb back? No, of course not. Mutton's nearer the question for me, isn't it, really? Mutton chops, probably. Well, I suppose in my seventh decade, mutton is probably the best I'm going to get at my time of life. And there's not much wool left on my head either, so I'm not much good as a sheep. But the good news is, the Lord won't need so much time to count the hairs because there aren't many left, are there? Which is not so bad. But there's quite a number in the congregation who've got quite a nice length of hair left, so they can go to the shearers before I do, that's for sure. But whatever sort of sheep I am, or you are, in a day like today, I certainly don't want to wander into a pen and cuddle up in the rain and the wind. It does not my... idea at all. But fortunately, this message we're talking about this morning is not about what I look like or what you look like, or whether you're a sheep, a lamb, or a goat, or whatever. It's the battle of Jesus fighting for our hearts and our souls. It's not what we look like, it's who we are that matters, and who he is that matters. And we change a subtle change in what John is writing here. In the last few chapters, Jesus has been out there trying to explain who he is and wants people to recognize and accept who he is. Now we move on into chapter 10, and now he's talking about, if you recognize who I am, this is what I can do, and that is be the shepherd of his sheep. So that's a significant change. We move on as these last few chapters go on through John now, we see this change. He is, in fact, the perfect lamb himself, the perfect shepherd. Now, that's a flock I want to be in. Not the one that's outside the rain, but I want to be in his flock. Now, Jesus uses this example because in those days, they lived in fairly rural conditions, and there were lots of shepherds and there were lots of sheep. And therefore, they understood the role of a shepherd. Therefore, it's fairly easy to follow the ideas he was talking about. But it's amazing, isn't it, that even then, those listening, particularly the Pharisees, didn't really understand what he was saying. He was trying to explain, but they didn't hear. So let's look a bit closer at it, at what he was saying. In verse 1, he talks about the thief and the robber that tries to enter into the pen. And here he's making direct reference, I think, to the Pharisees themselves, that they are there to try and take people away from Jesus, from what he is offering, what he was saying. And if you want more details, it actually refers back into Ezekiel 34, if you want to read on in that one later on today or during the week. Same references to the same people being led astray. Then in verse 2, the shepherd is our Lord Jesus. His flock listen to his word, both spoken and in our case, what is written also. And we recognize the words he speaks. And we recognize the words we read, that this is of Jesus. That's what this book is. This is of Jesus. As he says in here, that as we come out of a pen, we will follow him. He leads us, providing direction, provides leadership. He's not driving his sheep, as you see some people doing. No, he leads his sheep. He leads us on. He leads us on towards Father. For there is only one way to Father, and that is through the Son. Jesus tells us here, we're told to run away from the stranger who calls. Do not be led by those whose voice we do not recognize. And that's the same with the sheep. It's part of a flock. It will recognize its shepherd's voice. If somebody else calls them, they won't listen. But they will listen to their own shepherd. If you listen to others, you'll be taken away into temptation and evil because what they are calling you to is not of God. It goes further because it says in note 3, or verse 3 in there, he calls us by name. They may have seen it on television, you get small people who own flocks of sheep or goats or herd, that they could actually call them by name. I mean, to me, one sheep looks like another, or one goat looks like another. But Jesus knows each one of us by name. I think that's lovely, to know that he can always just call me out by name, just to remind me that he's there to talk to me. And I think it's also the same when if you go back and read the story of the lost sheep, which is not in this section, but I'll mention it again later on. if you get lost, if you can't find the pen, our shepherd Jesus doesn't sit there and wait for you to come back. No, the shepherd goes out looking for the lost sheep. And he will call you by name. And normally, the sheep will answer. And that's where he knows where to find him. Never be lost. Never be lost. You can always be found. Then goes on to talk about the gate, which we've already quite possibly mentioned already so far. Jesus is the gate. He is the door. He is the only way. Whoever enters through me will be saved. You can come and go to pasture. You can go out again. You can come back in. But you're under my security. There is only one way to the Father's house, and that is through the Son. Now, every building or structure has an entrance, sometimes several. And here we have a carpenter's son talking to us. And one assumes he knew how to build gates and doors. But this pen he's talking about only has one door. And there is only one way to heaven. That's the third time I've said that, because that's the third time he said it in that excerpt. It's something he wanted us to remember. There is only one way. Through his door, through his gate, to God's heaven. Verse 10, he goes on. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. The Greek word that's used here, by the way, is perissos, which doesn't mean to the full. It actually means to a surplus. I'll give you everything you need and more, because the more he wants us to share with others. The overflowing from us to other people. So we have a prerequisite, if you like, that we need to share, because that's what he calls us to do, to share with others. We've had I am the gate. We've also now got I am the good shepherd, the second of the seven I ams. I am the good shepherd, the ideal shepherd, the perfect shepherd, the fulfilling shepherd. It goes on to say, I will lay down my life for my sheep. Now, to those listening, they probably were reflecting on the fact that a shepherd might have to fight off a lion or a wild wolf or whatever, and therefore the shepherd is willing to stand up and fight for his sheep. In retrospect, of course, we knew that he was also referring to a time not so far away now when he would go to the cross. But that was for a time to come, not the time as we knew here. Now, not many people know this, but sheep have very poor eyesight. They can't see more than about 3 or 4 yards in front of them, which is why sometimes they fall off cliffs and can't see what they're doing. And if they fall down a gorge, they can't find their way up very easily because they can't see very far. And sadly, as we experience reading this in the Bible and from our own experience in and around us, there are so many of us around us who are short-sighted too, where Christ is concerned. They can't see further than the front of their eyes. And when they read something, they don't understand it. And Jesus again used the expression here, it doesn't matter if they're short-sighted, because I am there, they can hear my voice. And I can hear them bleating. So I can always keep that relationship and keep them close to me. So it doesn't matter. And you get more of that from the story of the lost sheep in Luke 15, as I was saying earlier. So this is as much about him leading us along, that he wants to be our shepherd. He wants to lead us forward, not drive us on, but lead us where he is going. And it's also about getting lost and finding your way back to that pen, finding your way back into his protection. And there may be some here this morning still feeling a bit lost where God's concerned, not knowing where to go. But be encouraged. because he moves on to what was going to happen to him later. We ought to realize that even if we were the only lost sheep left in the world, he would have still have gone to that cross for you. I find that quite incredible. If I was the only one that was lost, he would still have gone to that cross for me and for you. Quite incredible, quite amazing. But that is our amazing God. That even for one individual, he would die. That's how much he cares. That's how much he loves. In verse 16, he talks about other sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them in also. Now, this actually would have confused the Pharisees, because quite often, as you all know, of course, that a lot of villages had a communal pen. So that sometimes when the shepherds brought their sheep off the hills, perhaps they needed to come down for lunch or need to park them there for the night, they had a bigger pen, which lots of sheep from different shepherds would park themselves in there for the night. Next morning, when it's time to go, a shepherd would walk there and say, "Come on, sheep." But they would recognize his voice. So only the ones that is being called would come out. The rest would stay behind, because that is not their shepherd. So they may have thought Jesus was referring to that, but of course he wasn't. But again, we now know that he's referring to the Gentiles when he says, I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. Later, that would be recognized and understood that Jesus said it's not just the lambs of Israel. It was the lambs of the world that he was concentrating on as well. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. But for the Pharisees, still utter confusion. They did not understand. Our immortal Jesus has the power over life and death, something they would not recognize, and was there to save his people. He had come amongst them now. And next week, I think we're going to get demonstration, perhaps, of life and death and the rising of Lazarus, but that's for another week. He's raving mad, demonized, they said. How sad they didn't understand that their amazing God was prepared to sacrifice his life for them. Because they did not agree, because they would not accept it, the nation remained divided instead of being united in love. And the sheep of Israel might have to continue to rely on a fragile structure of the pen to protect them, rather than the unity and loyalty of the Christian flock and the power of the Holy Spirit. Very sad. But what about you and I? Are we going to be the sheep following the Good Shepherd? Will you listen to his call day by day? For it isn't a one-off, is it? It's an everyday event, listening to him, following him, being led by what he wants us to do each and every day. Do we accept how pathetic we are by comparison to our Good Shepherd? Do we accept that under his guidance we have everything to gain? There is our safety. There is our food. There is our water. It's all there for us. His way is the only way through that gate. His way is the only way to eternal life. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will go anywhere for us. And he will always love us. Total fulfillment in Christ. Total sufficiency in Christ. That's our God. That is what Jesus was telling these people. Here I am. This is what we can be in a relationship together. It's not about how you look. It's not about what you do. It's about that relationship that the shepherd has with his sheep. And that is one stage further on in his teaching. And next week we move on to another stage. But let me finish with a prayer. It's David's prayer, Psalm 23, which in fact just sums it all up in one go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, just continue to lead us home, I pray. Amen.